Fantastic. It's such a blessing to be in the house of God once again and just to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is such a great privilege and an honor to stand before you, and certainly I don't take it for granted. I want to thank the leadership, the elders, the deacon, and those men who select, and certainly we want to keep the Fife family in our prayers as they continue to make the transition here. To become a new minister, we want to make sure that everything is done decently in order and they have safe travel. For those of you who have been praying for me, I just want to say I appreciate it so much. I do believe in the power of prayer. For some of you who do not know, about 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. And I know some of you in the audience know and understand that that is a very serious disease and can be deadly. And by the grace of God, I've been blessed truly to continue to live on and just fight and take my medication. However, recently, my cardiologist has said that some things have been turning not in the best direction. And so I've been to Duke last week, and I love my wife so much, who's just a great support, and I thank God for every day. I just want you guys to continue to pray for me. Continue to pray that God will continue to extend unto me His grace and His mercy. I do know His will be done. But again, I believe in the power of prayer. And I know that Christ is the great physician. And so the doctors can say what they say, but God can also do what He does. And so I just want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, to continue to pray for me and my family. Me finding your Bible, the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Again, I'm sure it's been stated once before, but if you are visiting with us on this morning, we certainly want you to know that you are our honored guest, and that we don't take your visits for granted. We're so thankful that you decided to stop here at the Church of Christ that meets on Tyrone Road, the Cary Church of Christ, and worship with us. And so feel free to hang around after worship service. We have prepared lunch for you, and we'd love to just get to know you better. Romans chapter 12. Is where our lesson will come from. Romans chapter 12. Paul records these words in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, in verse number 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And for a little while, I'd like to speak to you from the topic, for things to change, you have to change. For things to change, you have to change. Most, if not all of us, want some type of change in our lives. If we're just honest with ourselves, whether it's our appearance, and I've said this before, I know for myself, I can definitely stand and lose a few pounds. When I was weighing on Friday, the nurse, the pound register wasn't working, so I think it came up in kilograms or something of that effect. So she had to take one number and subtract it from another number to come up with the pounds. And she said, I think she said 280 or something. I said, sweetheart, I am not 280. I said, I haven't been 280 for over 20 years, but I wish. And so the bottom line is all of us would really like to see some type of change. Maybe it's our zip codes. Maybe we'd like to change our homes and where we live, our neighborhoods. Maybe it's our financial status. Maybe we would like to see more commas in our bank account. And I'm just being real. I'm talking to folks who are honest with themselves and say, you know what? There are some things I would like to change. Maybe it's our automobiles. You know, maybe it's our cars or our jobs or even our careers. Oftentimes, and it's okay, it's human nature for people to desire change. Maybe it's our relationships. Hopefully not your spouse, but maybe you're dating and you want to change that relationship at this particular point in time. And I just stop by to tell you that regardless of where you go and what you do, you take yourself with you when you go. And I don't know if you've ever really considered that. So many times people find themselves going from relationship to relationship and never really finding true love and always seeming to find out what the other person had in terms of negativities and flaws and why the relationship didn't work. And I always like to say, well, the one common denominator in that relationship was you. You know, and some of us, many of us have jumped from job to job and from career to career. And oftentimes we find ourselves complaining and just not being happy and really not finding true fulfillment in those jobs. And before long, we seem to be at odds with other individuals that work there, maybe the supervisor or coworkers or whatever the case. Again, I submit to you that the one common denominator, even in those situations, is you or me or us. And so when I look at this particular text, you know, it's funny because Paul spends the first 11 chapters talking about beliefs and in what the church there in Rome, what their beliefs were and what they should be. But then he spends chapter 12 through 16 talking about their behavior. And I've lived long enough to know that, you know, men don't necessarily determine their futures. Men determine their habits, and their habits end up determining their futures. And so I think as Christians, it's important, like Paul said, that we examine ourselves. Examine ourselves, look in the mirror, look in the perfect law of liberty to see just where we stand as people. Look at verse number one. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay? So the first thing I notice here is presentation. He says, you ought to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And living obviously is a contradiction or opposes death. Many folks don't know that as people, because we walk around, because we can walk and talk and see and smell, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are alive or that we're living. If you remember in Matthew chapter 8, around verse number 19, a certain scribe came to the master and he said, Master, I want to follow you. I want to go where you're going. I want to be a part of your ministry. He says, but please suffer first that I go and bury my father, because his father had just passed away. And if you remember what Jesus told him, he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He says, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, when he talks about the state of the unrepentant Christian, he said, there was a time when you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. And by the grace of God, you've been quickened, meaning you've been brought back to life, to live. And so as we see folks walking around, breathing air and taking in and out oxygen, and their lungs are filling up, and they look to be living, not everyone is necessarily alive, because without obedience to God and being added to the body of Christ, I submit to you that spiritually, we're still dead. Spiritually, we're still dead. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I, you know how I do now. I've been here a little bit. I preach. I don't want you to take my word for it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll find another example. Look at verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to use this technology here. I see so many folks using it. I don't want to be there for that. He's talking about widows. He's talking about widows and the plight of the widows. He says in verse number 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable. Underline the word acceptable in your mind, because it's a word that Paul also uses in verse number 2 of our text, before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers both night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And so Paul is saying, as to the church, it's important for you to understand that just because You have the ability to get up and walk around and talk, and you can see, and you can hear, and you can touch, and you can taste. You have to be careful that you're not walking around spiritually dead. He said, I want you to offer up your lives to God as a spiritual sacrifice. Why, Paul? Because God has been so merciful to you. God has been so merciful to me. It matters not what happens to me, Brother Hall, later on this evening. It doesn't matter so much to me what happens tomorrow, because what I know up until this point in my life, November 6, 2016, God has been merciful to me. Amen. If you're honest with yourself, God has not given you as a person what you truly deserve for the behaviors that you have manifested over your lifetime. Amen, amen, and amen. When you think about mercy, you think about the person who has the power, the person who has the disposition to show compassion. They are refraining from harming the offender or the enemy. See, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 53 that we were healed because of the bruises and the stripes that Christ took. But that beating should have been ours. We are the ones that deserve. Think about it in court when they say that the prisoner threw itself on the mercy of the court. God has a disposition to forgive. He has the power to show compassion and tolerance. And it's more like us receiving imprisonment in place of the death penalty for capital punishment, for capital crimes. I watch a lot of those shows, you probably do too, Forensic Files and things of that nature. And some crimes are so heinous, they're just so unbelievably evil and immoral, but oftentimes you'll see that the court gave the prisoner life in jail without parole as opposed to giving them a death penalty. And I want you to think from this point on, when you think about mercy, that's us. We deserve the death penalty. Even now, some of us, the way we treat God, even after post-baptism, sometimes the way we treat God, we give him so little time when it comes to our studies. We give him so little time when it comes to dedicating a part of our week to him. You know, we forget the things we've been taught as Christians, and we revert back to the world. We revert back to doing things the way we used to do them, pre-baptism. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible teaches in Hebrews that when we do that, we're crucifying Christ all over again, afresh. And for that, we deserve death. But Paul says, because God has been so merciful to you, because he's extended to you this mercy that you didn't even deserve, you ought to be willing to at least present your bodies as living sacrifices. And understand, a sacrifice is something that you give in exchange for something else. A sacrifice is something that it actually, you feel the pain of giving it. If I make $100,000 a week in my business, and I come in here and give God $1,000 or $10,000 for that sake, I know there's some religious organization that they teach tithing. Is that really a sacrifice? Did it really hurt me to give that amount of money, considering how much I've been given in the first place? And that's what we have to consider when we think about God. He wants our sacrifice. I was sharing this with my young class this morning. Singing is a spiritual sacrifice. And especially when you sing like me, because I know it's not about how it sounds. If it was, I'd be in trouble. It's a spiritual sacrifice that God is saying, look, all you can give me is praise and worship. You can't give me anything else. The money that we give is to keep the lights on. It's to keep the air conditioning running. It's to keep the heat running. It's to pay for ministries and help folks. God doesn't need our money. Money can't be spent in heaven. It's a spiritual sacrifice. So Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice holy. The reason God called us out of the world is to set us apart, to set us aside. He wanted to sanctify us and consecrate us so that we would be pure. He separated us from the world. And I hope somebody gets this morning, because oftentimes what we do is we allow ourselves to be defiled, to be contaminated once again by the thinking and the ideology of the world in which we live. I think sometimes we forget that we have been called out. We've been separated. We have been put in a position where we should abstain from earthly defilement. And not only that, not all sacrifices and not all gifts to God are acceptable. Hello? We're real good at telling a denominational organization that, hey, that's not going to get it done because that's not acceptable. Well, Paul's talking to Christians here. Paul's saying when you bring your spiritual gift, he says, I want you to understand that it needs to be a holy, acceptable gift. Okay? Because not all gifts to God are acceptable. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. First Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Matter of fact, let's look at 1, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Is that in your Bibles? Young folks, we have been called out. We are a spiritual priesthood. In the Old Testament, you needed the priest to go before God to offer up sacrifices on our behalf. And if the priest wasn't right, if he went in before the holy tabernacle, he went in with a rope on his leg, because if he wasn't right before God, they had to drag him out of there because he died in the presence of the Lord. Go home and read your Bibles. But now we don't need that because we are priests. We have been called out. We have been set aside. We make up a holy, spiritual group of individuals that if we live right, we are in a position where we can go and offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable. We read in Hebrew that Cain's offering was not accepted by God. Back in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 4. Well, why wasn't it accepted? Because it wasn't given by faith. What does that mean? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God told Cain and Abel what he wanted. Abel complied. Abel gave God what he wanted. Cain didn't. Therefore, his countenance fell. His sacrifice wasn't accepted. We have to understand as God people that he expects sacrifices to be brought, but he wants what he asks for. We can't live life any old kind of way Monday through Saturday and then come in here even as God's children and give him just what we think he ought to have. It doesn't work that way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse number 11. Actually, look at verse number 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't be lied to. This world has a good way of lying to folks. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, a better translation is homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, as such were some of you. But you are washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. I don't know about you, but that's shout news to me. Mike, when I read that, it says, I now have access to eternal life. regardless of all the sinful things I've done in the past, because I've been sanctified. I've been consecrated. I've been set apart from this world. What tends to happen, brothers and sisters, sometimes because we're being constantly bombarded with the programming of this world, we forget who we are. And we tend to start to act like the world. And we tend to start to think like the world. And we tend to take on the mannerisms and the behaviors of the world. And that's not who we are. We were made in his likeness and his image. So when you think about it, if I had to wrap this whole lesson up into one word, it's about perspective. When I learned this text changed my life. T and I have been married for 15 years. We've been together for 17 years. And like most folks, I've shared this with you in the first couple of years, it wasn't very harmonious. When you're transitioning and you're giving up your freedoms and now you're changing into two people becoming one and now you're having to share everything and sacrifice, it's not easy. But a couple that had been married 56 years told us at a marriage retreat, you can't change her. And they told her, you can't change him. And that helped us. We spend so much time, brothers and sisters, trying to change everybody around us. Right now, millions and millions of dollars are being spent trying to influence our thought process when we go into the ballot booth to decide whether we're going to choose a Republican or a Democrat. And Paul says, be careful about that. You don't want to be conformed to this world. Before you're a Democrat or a Republican, prayerfully, you're a Christian. So in my respect, it doesn't matter who wins, because my God is in control of everything. And when I really digested this and started to understand, okay, it's not my job to police everybody. It's not my job to try to get everyone to think like Anthony thinks. It's not my job to try to get everyone to see how Anthony viewed things and see things. I'm sharing this with my class right now. Be humble, be devoted to God, and he will bless you in ways you can't even imagine. Because it starts and ends with him. The separation. Avoid conforming to this world. Paul says in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world. Okay, we have to avoid being fashion-like or falling into the ideologies of this culture so much that we, again, get off track of who we are. You know, some people still believe it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, some people still believe if you get me, I just have to get you. I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to sleep good until I get my revenge. That's just the way, you know, some people feel. Think about it. I mean, let's be real. How many times in here have somebody wronged you and we didn't necessarily take the high road? We didn't take the Christ-like road. But we were determined to make sure that we got them back in some kind of way, or at least gave them a piece of our mind. Some of us have given away so many pieces of our mind, I'm surprised we got any left. And the reality is you save yourself so much time, so much energy, so much heartache. I mean, all of us, can we be real? All of us have baggage of some sort. All of us. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. But all of a sudden, we come into these relationships with each other, whether they're social, romantic, or whatever, and we just expect everybody to come around us and have all these harmonious relationships. If we just get our relationship right with Christ, if we just get our relationship right with God, and we trust him, and we study his word, and obey his word, what happened to me, it seems like everybody else will just get in line. But it wasn't that they changed. I changed as a child of God. Separation. We have to be careful not to be in agreement and to act in accordance or to accept the rules and customs of this world. We have to be careful not to submit or line ourselves up with or accommodate the beliefs of this world. We have to be careful not to be guided by or give so much credit to or follow the patterns of this world. As a matter of fact, James chapter 4, verse number 4 said that friendliness or being a friend of this world is enmity with God. You can't have it both ways. You can't please everyone in this world and please God. And so I submit to you that the change that you're looking for, the transformation that you're looking for, and it's not always so evident. It's not always a change that people can see right away. As God was changing me and moving me into being more like his son Christ, a lot of it was kind of under the radar. And here I go from being a young man, you know, early or late 20s to where I am now, and my relationships with people have changed. The way I've talked, the places I go, the things I do, my mentality has changed. And then people see me now, and they, you know, I had to get off Facebook. I got on Facebook, I was so excited, you know, to get on Facebook a year or so ago and had never been on, and found all these people from 20 years who hadn't seen me, and they start typing stuff that was related to 20 years ago. I had to cancel my account. Say, that's not me. I'm a new person, you know? And so the change, you know, you have presentation, you have separation, and the transformation is you letting God do what he wants to do. Look at 2 Corinthians quickly as we move on from separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verses number 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that spirit, verse number 17, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've never read something more true, brothers and sisters. Where the spirit of the Lord is, we have been given God's spirit, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And if you allow God's spirit to dwell in you by not defiling yourself with the wickedness, whether it's word, thought, or deed of the world, God's spirit will do what it's intended to do. It says, now, the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. I can't tell you how free you can become mentally from all of the things that you tend to clutter your mind with and allow yourself to be held captive by. It just, I'm almost, you know, I don't even want to say I'm ashamed of this political race, but it's just, I mean, you guys see it. I mean, come on. We're adults, really? Number one, I'm not going to let somebody tell me or put me in a box, you know, because you're this party or that party, you should think this way or think that way. It's programming. It's programming. That's why TV is called paid programming. We have to be careful about what we allow to enter into our thoughts and our minds, because we'll look up and we'll take that stuff as law, and then we'll allow our actions to manifest themselves in ways that might not be Christ-like. Verse number 18, but we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the capital S Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, will change you. It will change you. As a matter of fact, I submit that you can't be changed without it. I couldn't, you know, if me or is any man, if you're going to be faithful to your wife, or a woman's going to be faithful to her husband, you have to have God's spirit dwelling in you, because when times get tough, that's not even an option. You don't get drunk anymore because you have God's spirit dwelling in you, and because you know that the solution is not in the bottle at the bottom of that bottle. So getting drunk no longer is an option. But what has changed us from going from being weak and being so easily duped into neglecting God is his spirit. That's why he gave it to us. And so we have to understand the change you're looking for, you already have it dwelling in you. It's not in some relationship. It's not in this magical job. It's not in more money. Look how many people have money that are miserable. It's not in a new location. It's in us, the change that we're looking for. I won't go on. Write down this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Look at that when you get home. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. And finally, transformation. You know, Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He got the presentation. He said, do it in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable to God, and that's holy, that's separation. Then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. From this point on, brothers and sisters, your mind, your heart, what you put into your spirit, that's what will change you. And finally, you have to be willing to demonstrate. He goes on to say that in verse number 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So once you've actually encountered this transformation, once you've actually felt the power of what it feels like going from A to Z, allowing God to do the driving while you do the riding, there's going to be some manifestation of that. You're going to have to prove. You know, when I played college football back in the day and we lift all these weights, at some point in time, you had to be tested to see how strong you were. And right now, what I'm going through, I just think it's a test of God. Said, let me see how strong my son is. That's why I'm not losing any sleep. You know, and I'm so blessed to have the wife I have. It's like, look, we're preparing ourselves. Whatever God says is what's right. It may not be what I want. I'm certainly tired of feeling the way I've been feeling. But if God says it, I believe it. That settles it, and I'm with it. Because I've been too blessed to be stressed. And his mercy has been too good for me for too long. But here's the last part, demonstration. Once we prove we belong to God, then doing his will, his way, it will be accepted. I've shared this before. I've been to Church of Christ locations where they're not doing God's will according to the book. And so I submit even to them, this is not going to get us in heaven. Just because it says Church of Christ on the building, If the Bible says you're not following the doctrine, we have a problem. If you ever go to New York, make sure you got some type of friend, a connection. T and I, boy, we look hard to find real Church of Christ in New York, because if I walk into the building, there's a piano on one side and an organ on the other, I walk right out. If you get up to the sign and it says Church of Christ in a small print, it says founded by Bishop so-and-so, that's not the place. So I'm just sharing with you the importance of once you have this down and you've been changed, that will manifest itself in how we act. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. There's a lot of vain words being shared right now on television, in the media. A lot of vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I never feel guilty about not having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Did y'all hear me, young folks? You never have to feel guilty about not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Me and my son Aaron, we talk about this. You're going to come into a lot of people in your life, son, in school, outside of school. You never have to feel guilty when you know that that group of kids are doing the wrong thing and you walk away from that. Because what you're proving to God is you truly believe what his word says, not what your little eighth grade friends are telling you with these vain words. But guess what? We as adults get caught up too, don't we sometimes? We can't put it all on the children. We get caught up as well. And so I'm running out of gas, so we're going to end right here. Hopefully, what you have is the fact that Paul encourages us to live our lives in a manner where God is the conductor. Don't look outside of his word and his way for what you feel like you may be missing. because he told us that I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So regardless of what it is that we're looking for, love, success, money, respect, whatever the case may be, God has already given us the formula. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's about us making a decision to trust his word and to stay focused. If we would just focus on the big picture, what's the big picture? Eternal life, heaven, walking the streets of gold, spending all eternity in that place where there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more hatred, no more lying, no more deceit. All these things that we despise down here, it's not going to get into heaven. The rivalers, the blasphemers, the liars, they're not coming into heaven with us. So all we have to do is focus. And I promise you, it will have an effect on your life, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the truth of the matter is Jesus came to earth, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day so that you and I may have access to eternal life. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Once you hear that and you receive it and you believe it, you are now a candidate for salvation. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, he had to believe what Philip just got to explain it to him as it related to the scriptures in Christ. He said, if you believe it, Acts chapter 8, verse 34 to 37, now you can be baptized. But before that, you have to do something that's very important. I was sharing this with my high school kids today. You have to repent. See, if I teach you and you say you understand, but you're unwilling to repent, I don't have the authority to baptize you. And I think the elders would agree with me. None of us do. Because if you don't repent, but you get baptized, then you just got wet. But if you repent and you say, I make up in my mind that I'm allow Jesus to be the Lord of my life, he's going to be the driver. I'm going to be the passenger. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 3, without repentance, you will perish. It's just making up in your mind that now you're going to walk with God. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 8, 9, and 10, and then you'll be baptized, and you will be given his Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Your sins will be blotted out, Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, and you will be added to the body of Christ and be saved, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. If this is the first time you heard that, don't leave here now that you know, because you don't know about tomorrow. The Bible says, don't even talk about tomorrow, because you don't know anything about tomorrow. But the fact that you know now, you could be baptized and added to the body of Christ today. If you're here and you are a member of the body of Christ and you sin, come back home. Come back to God. Ask for forgiveness. We will pray for you. We will pray with you. And he will forgive you. Whatever your desire is, we ask you to do it now. Together we stand and sing a song of invitation. All to Jesus.